Hello and welcome to Throwback Theater, the show where we take a look back at some of our favorite classic 90s movies. My name is Eric Lutz. Thank you so much for joining. As always, I have some very close co-hosts here that are joining me virtually. Let's go the other way this time. How's it going, Lee?
Hey, everyone. I'll save you 45 minutes. Two-word review. Fuck this.
All right. And we should close out. Thank you so much for listening. Stick around for the trailer for next week's movie. How's it going, Lucas?
It's when you say favorite movies of our childhood is
did I say favorite?
Misleading.
No, he didn't say that at all. He said something about 90s movies.
No, I think he used the word favorite.
Some our favorite 90s movies? I'm not even sure.
We'll talk about that in a second.
It's already a blur.
And how's it going tonight, Chris?
Well, I just want to reiterate that this episode is brought to you by Moose Plow, the best plows in the business. Other than that, let's get through this one.
I didn't know that you have a sponsor now. We don't, show doesn't have a, you have a sponsor.
This is just me. This has nothing to do with you guys. You're seeing none of the money, but ooh. Moose Plow.
That reminds me. I totally forgot to mention drink Pepsi, drink a lot of it.
So crisp.
Today we're going to take a look at the movie Jack Frost, the 1998 Michael Keaton movie, Jack Frost, not the horror film. Now, when you talk about favorite movies, Lucas, I did see this when I was a kid, and I do remember liking it.
I did see it too.
Okay. I don't want to give anything away, but I think I have a different view of it now as an adult. Lee, Chris, have you guys seen this?
Well, Chris, can you please just tell the story that we all experienced about the video store with this movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to, because I remember being a child and there was a Jack Frost horror movie that came out, I think, a year prior.
It was 1 year prior. Movie. Yep.
Yeah.
97.
And it had that.
It was a hologram cover.
That holographic cover. The hologram cover. And when you shift, as you walk down the video rental store, it would go from like a smiling snowman face to like a snowman with like just ragged jaws, teeth, and like angry eyes. And that was so famous in video stores. I think that actually propelled that movie into like it generated a lot of video rental like money.
It has a cult following now.
Just because of that cover. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's actually kind of it's a farce.
Sure.
And it's a very self-aware of what it is. So like if you're watching it in that vein, it's fine. It's funny. Like if you enjoy that kind of like
it's in the same vein as like the Ginger Dead Man or like Santa's Sleigh.
Yes, but it predates all of those by like at least 15 years. So like it's kind of like I'm not going to call it ahead of its time. But if you like that Evil Dead 2 kind of style, then it's an enjoyable movie.
Okay. So how many people picked that one up or kids rented that thinking it was the Michael Keaton?
Yeah, almost no one. Almost no one.
I do want to ask because when we were talking about what movies we wanted to watch for this this 5 week month, I believe it was DJ that wanted to do this. Am I correct on that? Is that one of you guys that wanted to do this?
No, the DJ wanted to do the I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Okay.
Which is the only one he's going to be doing with us this month.
Okay, great.
Because he said he's going to record that one.
Then who wanted to do this one?
All I know go ahead.
No, I think I pitched it with Chris as well. I think we both said that we should just watch this. So we had to get through this. There was a time and a place, and we needed to rewatch this movie because we've all... did you watch it, Lee?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's one of the few ones that we've been doing that every one of us had seen it again this year too. Because I feel like there's been a lot of like two or three of us seen it, but not the full gang.
Okay.
And I feel like this is like one of the few ones that we had all seen it before.
You're right. You're right. Good point. I will say that, like I said, I did like this, and I'm going to just sort of start it off by saying this movie's really bad.
It's a turd.
I wanted, like Snow Day, I wanted to talk about some of the strengths of this movie, but it's going to be kind of tough.
I'll give you this movie has one of my favorite thing in this movie, and they don't do it as best as they should have done. In the opening or close to the opening, they have the whole war scene with the snow. I love that sequence.
Oh, yeah, with the kids as soon as they leave school.
Yeah. Yeah. You're wrong.
No. But what I'm saying is just because they do kind of set it up, this whole like war, that it could have been a really fun scene to shoot, edit, and like kind of showcase, and they don't add any like war music to it. Like Priscilla, they should have just like riff off of just Patton soundtrack or any of those like
bands. They add like Vietnam sounds. There's like helicopter blades going. Well, and like
they do those, but instead of like adding just like explosions from like the snowballs coming in, like they add the wrong sound effects to it, to something that could have been kind of like fun with like just like creating this whole like war atmosphere with these little kids playing snow, that the snow fights. So I thought that it looked cool. And it's like, I would love to play that. I think that
they've got plunger, like bow and arrows and stuff that they're shooting snowballs out of. And I was like, what is this? Were you all prepared for this? Also, did you guys notice?
They were.
So they do this weird shot where like there's a part of like a dinosaur playground equipment. It's like, it looks like one of those things that's on a spring.
Yeah.
That you can ride on. Okay. Somebody hits it in the face with a snowball and it kind of rocks a bit and it roars.
What?
It goes and I was like, did that thing just fucking roar? And like, was that diegetic or non-diegetic? And if so, no matter which one it is incorrect, because it's awful.
Least of my concerns about this movie.
But I want to tell you guys how I watched this movie. But before I do that, I do want someone to sort of give me a very quick rundown for the people who have not.
Before I even let someone do that, during the credit sequence, I just want to point out that this movie has 4 credited screenwriters. It does. And that's always a really bad sign.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay, I'll give you the story.
Yeah, please let Lee do it.
So we are following Michael Keaton as the frontman of the band Jack Frost, which is a seasonal rock band.
They're not rock.
No, they're like jazzy.
They're blues rock.
Yeah, they're but like blues rock.
All right, Lee, you're ruined this already.
But they're definitely seasonal.
They're not seasonal. They're just happens to be Christmas.
They play Frosty the Snowman in June.
The worst cover of Frosty the Snowman.
So like many 90s films, Michael Keaton is kind of an absent father as he tries to pursue his rock star career. And he's neglecting his wife and his son. And when he's just about to make a break in the industry at 45, he is in a fatal car accident, which we don't really see on Christmas Day. And because of a magical harmonica, he is brought back to life as a horrifying Jim Henson snowman.
A year later.
And where he is able to reconnect with his son and close the loop, the loose ends of his life.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
So kind of like Ghost for Kids, but way worse.
let's start at the beginning of that, because he's playing Frosty the Snowman. This movie has the worst sync up of music to video that I've ever seen.
Why? Because they have a bunch of nonsensical instruments all on stage together. There's like a keyboardist. There's like an electrical like fiddle or violin.
So yeah,
there's a bass player, a guitar player, a drummer. Like somebody's playing like a washboard. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Just watch it, because like the drummer, like nobody's playing anything in time with the actual music. And there is a violin player who, I looked her up, she's an actual professional violin player who's not in any of the music. She's on stage going to town and you don't hear any violin at all. And
she's kind of a babe, actually.
Yeah. So, go on.
No, I was just going to say, the guy in the audience who does like the Back to the Future thing? Do this and like lifts his cell phone. So I was like, that's not how that works.
Hang on, Chris. Hang on. I have more to that than you know.
Oh,
so
please.
So you were talking about rock stars in movies. You were talking about Iggy Pop and Henry Rollins in the last movie. This movie has 3 of the 4 Zappa children in it. Children.
That's Frank Zappa's child.
That's Dweezil Zappa, who holds up the phone and he says, "I wrote it down. They're digging it. They're loving it. We got to sign these guys based off their cover of Frosty the Snowman.
What is Frank Zappa's kid's name?
Oh, you don't know that Frank Zappa's kids all have weird names?
No.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, his oldest son, his name is Dweezil. Dweezil. And then his other son, who is the snowplow man in this movie, who comes up a few times. His name is Amit. A-H-M-E-T. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Amit. And then his daughter plays the teacher when they're leaving school right before the big snowball fight that you're talking about, Lucas.
Why? And, why are the Zappa children involved with this production?
I have no idea. The only thing I can think is because the person who does the score is also the guitar player in the band. He's the guitar player of Yes.
Oh, really?
And he's done music he's done scores for a lot of movies.
Music isn't even an important part of this fucking movie.
It tries to be, but it's not really.
It becomes more about hockey. Like make the kid a musician then.
Yeah. But maybe that's why. But why exactly they 3 out of 4 said, yeah, we'll do Jack Frost? I don't know. But Lucas, you're probably going to get a kick. The daughter, Frank Zappa's daughter, who's the teacher of this movie, her name is Moon Unit. Moon Unit Zappa. Classic. Which, yeah, just so you know. That's very Frank Zappa. So anyway, when they're moving on. So I think this is sort of a famous trivia thing about this movie, but you guys might not know this, but originally George Clooney was signed onto this movie. So the snowman was made to look like George Clooney, and then he backed out. So Michael Keaton came in. So that's why the snowman does not look like Michael Keaton.
I don't think it's like, fucking look, it does not look like
doesn't look. So I guess I think it was based on George Clooney because it
you definitely could have said Jeff Daniels.
Dude, yeah. You could have told me it was Danny Glover, and I'd be like, "Yeah, sure." Like,
wait, did you know that, Chris? I felt like
I did know that.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be based off of George Clooney.
Here's my question. If George Clooney did this movie, do you think they would have still made him have a soul patch, ear piercing, and like frosted tips?
So no. I think like how he backed out.
How do we make him look like a musician? Well, we're gonna give him an earring. We're gonna dye the top of his hair blonde, and he's gonna have a little soul patch, and that's how we know he's a blues guy.
And Michael Keaton's lines in this movie remind me of the Little Monsters monster.
I thought the same thing. And
hey, oh yeah.
It wasn't that intense, but it was definitely like, I'm the cool guy. And it was like, it was a little
call me this. I'm doing the snow jobs. I'm whipping snowballs. Like, I'm the snow machine, man.
When they go, right. You the man. And he goes, no, I'm the snowman.
Oh, crazy.
That had to be that was the tagline for the movie, right?
It hurts.
How many like
he's snowball the man. Jokes? No. Oh.
My balls are freezing.
They do so many of these dick ball jokes.
It's all the whole thing.
Right in the beginning, he does the one where when him and Charlie go out and build when he comes home and they build a snowman and he's like, oh, Daddy needs a nose, and he sticks it
nothing,
like the carrot as a penis.
I thought you said hose.
Yeah, I thought you said hose, and I was like, oh, snowman penis humor, love it.
Yeah.
Never
it's
enough.
It's a lot of that. And plus, but he gets boobs at one point, and he gets hit with two snowballs. He's like, oh, I have boobs.
Can I just say how much I hate his fucking hat?
I hate everything about
him. Pork pie right. hat. And also, wait, the problem with his hat is it's Michael Keaton's hat, right? He shows up wearing it, and he looks like a jackass. And then they use it for the snowman, and then he dies, and Charlie, I guess, keeps it and builds the snowman. The hat grows exponentially. It is 3 times as large. Like, that hat wouldn't fit a normal human being's head. When it's on the snowman, it is enormous. I was like, that is not the same hat. Chris. Oh, magic. Fuck you. And fuck your magic.
So we got to talk about so there is clear parallels to Frosty the Snowman. They make jokes about it in the movie. And the magic of Frosty the Snowman is the hat has like magic qualities that brings inanimate objects to life. So in this film, the magic device is, I assume, a cheap harmonica.
The harmonica, yeah.
That what does that have to do with a snowman?
Nothing. Here's my question. Why does he come back as a snowman at all? Like, I thought this whole movie could work better if he could come back for like one day, like, and it has to be Christmas. Yeah, and like, you know what I mean, there's maybe you could throw some rules in there that revolve it's around called that.
3 days, and I suggested it.
Yeah, you did. Because I remember that, Lee. I remember it 3 days.
I don't know why the snowman thing just, and even the way his arms move, I was like, that physically, that's not how the stick arms would work.
Yeah.
Like, he's able to like bend his arms as if they're limbs. And I'm like, no, this is not how sticks work.
They have a meta moment when he's walking down the street at night when he's like, wow, like if there's a God, he's a real bastard.
Oh, no, I wrote that down. He goes, oh, is the universe that unoriginal? Like, yeah, a snowman, really? And he goes, oh, is it because of my name? And I'm like, yeah.
Screenwriters,
why are you pointing out how
screenwriters being like, I know this is bad. It's definitely what it is.
That was their one moment to be like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I'm getting paid. Like, they paid me a lot of money to do this.
So let me sort of tell you guys about how I watched this movie. So I put this on last night.
Wait, did you pay for this movie?
I pay for all the movies.
Oh yeah, I had to rent this for $3.99. I'm not thrilled about it.
This movie's for free on AMC.
I didn't have AMC.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't have that. But I definitely don't mind renting the movies. I feel like if we're going to talk about them, the least I could do is give them $3 or $4. But anyway, so I watched this movie. He does not actually turn into a snowman until about 40 minutes.
Really? Fucking minutes. I looked.
And yeah.
He doesn't die till minute 37.
It is until about 50 minutes that like really the plot starts, because like the kid is afraid, whatever. So there's less than an hour of actual plot. But so I fell asleep. So it was about 45 minutes and 50 minutes or so. And I'm like, I'm falling asleep. I turn it off. I'm like, I'm going to watch this tomorrow. I fire it up today at about noon or so. And I'm laying in bed and I fall asleep. I fall asleep again. So I watch, and luckily, because the way Amazon works is like, if you watch the movie, like you have to pay for it again. And luckily I caught it at the tail end. So I had to go back and watch the rest of this movie. But ultimately, like, this movie is so fucking boring. It's really what this comes down to. This movie's goddamn boring.
Dude, that montage in before he dies, like in the car crash, there's a montage where him and the band are like, they're in a recording studio and his son has a hockey game, and it's cutting back and forth between like them recording in a studio and his son's hockey game. And it's like 5 minutes. And I was like, what the fuck is this montage? And it's them doing like this real, like kind of slow bluesy song. Like, oh God, I'm feeling down. Yeah. And it's cut between like hockey sequences, and the music is still playing. And I was like, I was losing my shit. Like, what? Why is this happening?
I have a very simple question. Why? Like, this kid, his dad is a rock star. Is going to be a rock star. Why isn't he happy? Like, do you know how much like real studio time costs? He's like, yeah.
Charlie treats his dad as if his dad is an absent father to like piece of shit, and he's the opposite of that.
His dad's cool.
So every minute he's at home.
Yeah.
Every second he's at his home, he is loving his family. He's like talking to his son. He's going into his room. Even on his way out the door, he's like showing him like hockey tricks as his friend's like, we got to go. And he's like, hang on, I got to show my son this thing. And his son's like, oh, dude, oh, you're such a piece of shit.
This movie takes a long time to try to set you up to the emotional core of what they want to like pull the strings on you by creating this whole, because again, the sequence with the blue song and the hockey game is like, is a prime example how they're just trying to create this like emotional, it's like, it's gonna be real sad when he dies and he comes back and they're gonna teach his son how to beat in hockey. And it's like, so they cheap. Take again, like, But again, they take so long because he doesn't become the fucking snowman for 40 minutes to the point.
Right, and you never even get to see some fun where he's like a snowman playing hockey. Like, no, they don't even give you that. He just shows up to his hockey game as a snowman. You're like, all right. So I hate the trope of like parents like missing like some kind of sporting event. And that's supposed to like highlight them as like, oh, like you're a bad parent. And they somehow have to make up for it for their child. Like Jingle All the Way does the same thing. That's how they open the movie, where he's like trying to get through his kid's like karate class and he misses it. And then all like he has to apologize to like his wife and then the kid and then like try and make up for it. I hate that. Parents miss shit all the time. It's not a big deal. Like, did you guys ever do anything where your parents like, oh, hey, I can't be there today? You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like kids don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
like, it's not that big of a deal.
My dad worked like 12 hours a day. It was like, oh, he wasn't gonna be at like.
Yeah, I don't know, sometimes he was, sometimes he wasn't. It's like, okay, like cool, like not that big of a deal. He has other hockey games. That was like, it wasn't like the championship game or something. It was just like some game where Charlie didn't score a fucking goal anyway. Because they make that a whole big point. We're like, oh, someday he's gonna score his first goal, and you're not gonna be there. And I'm like, he hasn't scored a goal.
But I saw the same thing too. I was like, oh, this kid sucks.
Yeah. But and then they make out like Charlie's the best. He's not. He hasn't scored a fucking goal yet.
He also teaches him how to do the J shot, which is, I don't know how that's different from any other sort of shot in hockey.
It's a cheap plot device.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
And they harp on it so much. Yeah. Oh, go back on your heel and use your wrist. Like, yeah, thanks for, that's how you shoot. I like, what?
Hold on. So Lucas.
I do like the first time that we see the game and the coach is just like, I'm not gonna lose again. I'm not gonna do this. And then the kid's like, Dad, chill out. Oh yeah, okay. I thought that was kind of funny, moving on.
that's Henry Rollins, Lucas.
Yes,
we were talking.
I saw. Yeah, you asked me this is a good photo.
Real quick, this is described on Wikipedia as a dark fantasy drama. Yes, dark fantasy drama.
Oh my God.
That's what we're talking about here. Just the dad dies before the snowman. Charlie's sad. He quit the team. He's sort of being bullied. Can we talk about the bully for a little bit?
Okay, he's not like, really a bully either. Not really.
What do you mean? He seems like a bully.
Spiky hair.
He doesn't really go out of his way to be a bully ever. You know what I mean?
He does.
He does. Yeah. What do you mean?
No.
Why would he snowboard down to try to punch the kid in the face?
Push him off the fight side.
He tries to literally murder this kid.
Ugh.
And then, he tries to murder this kid.
There's so many terrible arcs here.
Well, so
there are arcs.
There's this bully kid, and Charlie is the main kid, and he is often standing up to the bully and winning a lot of the time. But after his dad dies, he doesn't do that so much, and other kids are getting bullied, and then the dad who is now returned as a snowman, who Charlie is like afraid of because he goes out with the hair dryer. I was like, I'm going to melt you unless you talk to me, whatever. And then the dad follows him. And then there's a big snowball fight. And then the sledding scene. This is ultimately what I'm getting to, is I want to talk about
that sequence scene. Is so bad.
Yeah. So the snowman dad, the snow dad is launching snowballs at a mile a minute with his arms.
And come on, Charlie boy.
Yeah. And so they're all like, we need to sled or snowboard after this kid. And they get on a sled and they go down the hill. And one of the kids has I've never seen this before, appears to be a sled bike. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like a sled tricycle.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with that?
Is he the one with the bucket full of snowballs too? Because he's just like kind of like walking around just like as a, it seems to be like a military cart.
It's a mountain town, so like I'm sure
they're like somewhere in Colorado. They're like outside of Denver.
I just want to make sure that I thought maybe one of you would go, oh yeah, I know what that snow bike is. I had a snow bike, but no, it seems so weird that I wanted to bring it up. He has a snow bike, you know, of course. And it's all this is where we get those famous lines where it's like, you demand no, you did dad. What the fuck did he say? You demand no, you the snowman. And I just, it hurts. And that's the plot of the movie.
The movie, especially for me, because I can get by the first like 40 minutes of this movie because it just seems to be a setup to like a Hallmark movie. Like this is what this movie really tries to be. But then, like, when the snowman becomes Michael Keaton, this movie just becomes insanity. Yeah, it just becomes, like, a bonkers insane. Like, just give me the sappy. Like, I'd rather have the sappy Christmas story thing. Like, because this is, like, it doesn't become fun, which it should have been. And it just becomes, like, this crazy, nonsensical. Because the whole chase scene, because, again, the bully literally tries to kill this kid because he's hanging on like a fallen tree branch, and he's literally calling for help because like, this kid is going to die. And no, none of the bullies, none of those people try to even like, they don't even point at it. They don't even laugh at it. They don't, they don't even acknowledge the fact that he's going to fall off this cliff. And then somehow Michael Keaton, the snowman
does not work out.
No, no, he just shows up there, jumps on him to save him.
But then they still fall.
Yeah. He should still be dead.
The snowman. And then they go into the whole chase scene with the snowboarding is nonsensical, and the farce doesn't work because it's not well done. And at that point, it's like so unwarranted that it's not as when we're talking about Snow Day and like the things are kind of like goofy and silly. They are kind of earned to be like, oh yeah, like this is kind of like again like when they're tying the fat kid on the snow plow. It's like this is absurd, but it's kind of like warranted and funny. Wind. Like this one is just so out there, nonsensical. They like they clearly they just thought someone wrote that and thought it was really funny. And it's like, yeah, let's do it. And then nobody thought about it twice.
Well, so when he becomes a snowman, which is again more than halfway through the movie, he has like the one thing is he doesn't want to tell his wife. He wants to hide it from his wife. He has this time back on Earth, and he's choosing to hide it from his wife.
Well, why?
Yeah.
Why?
And that's seemingly, he doesn't even know he's a snowman at first. Because he comes back, he's like, oh, hey, I'm home. And then he sees his reflection and freaks out, and he doesn't know that he's been dead for a year, I guess.
Can we talk about that? So, like, in Ghost, when Patrick Swayze dies, he's immediately a ghost and doesn't know at first, but then realizes that his body's there and he's dead. We don't get any scene in this movie of the car accident, any of the aftermath. Like he doesn't see that he's dead. We just, we jump a year. So he's been dead in heaven for a year
or hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when he's brought back to life,
the void,
like, is he just like, oh, like he woke up from a dream or I'm back here and not in heaven. It's very strange.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like
he pops into existence again.
Yeah. Like talk to us about the afterlife. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. And, also, go ahead.
Oh, so like, it's kind of like in Ghost where like at the end you see like his silhouette and he's like a human and like, it proves to the family that there's an afterlife. And I feel like if we all knew that we were going to be conscious and in another realm after we're dead
and maybe come back as a snowman,
it would kind of change your whole life. Like it would be like, oh, I'm gonna see them again, it's fine.
Yeah, I think I just don't, I think what you're getting at, Lee, is just it's why didn't he talk to his wife? It's like, yeah, I get that he hasn't connected with this kid, but you could be like, hey Charlie, you know that I'm dad, right? Okay, all right, you need to tell your mom that I'm here as well. Cause like, this is really fucked up, but he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
what's even more fucked up is he goes into the house. Cause he's like, I'm hungry. Which think about that. The digestive system of a snowman. What the fuck? So he was in the house.
Feel pain. Cause he gets holes in him. I would assume he feels pain.
His head separates from his body at one point.
Yeah. But he gets pain. Hungry.
He takes it. Yeah, but he gets hungry. Exactly.
So, I don't know.
So when they're like, when he's like, hey, mom's home. Yeah. They're like, mom's home. Behind, when you see this shot behind Charlie, there's the back door and you could just be like, oh shit. Hey, good. Go out there. And he goes into the cabinet.
Into the pantry. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, that's lazy. Like, that is just dumb writing. Yeah, Chris.
And also, even when when he becomes the snowman and he sees Charlie for the first time, Charlie is not... The fact is that Charlie, he fully accepts the fact that there's a talking snowman. The only thing that he doesn't, like... accepts the fact, oh, you're my dad. Because if you see his argument, he doesn't blink high twice because even
he barricades the door.
No, because he thinks he's dead. Because he hears the snowman starts talking. He's a dad, and he just like keeps blocking it up, and then he's talking to the snowman, and he has no problem talking to a snowman. He just doesn't believe that the snowman is his dad. That's sure. The issue for him.
Yeah.
Okay, but when fucking Landslide played, I was God, like, fuck sad. You. They no, fuck that. Yeah, that's the only fucking reason that exists, because they're like, we just need to play a sad song here so people feel sad
for this
sad building a snowman. And they play like a full 90 seconds of Landslide. I actually left the room, took a pee, and came back and was like, oh my God, Landslide is still playing.
You could play they that play over the whole most song. Scenes and it would be sad.
They played that whole song.
That was my like, oh, fuck you.
So we kind of talked about a lot about this movie, about I guess what we don't like about this movie, but because it's really boring.
There's no stakes. Doesn't add up. There's no stakes in this movie. Zero.
And when the dad finally comes back as a snowman, he's trying to teach his kid how to move on without him. And he does, but in such a passive way, I guess. And so when it finally ends, but when they get him up to the mountains, he's like, I gotta go. My question
is, what does that
why?
Mean?
Why? Like, it's
immortal.
They're even like, they're like, it's just the beginning of winter. Like, you can stick around.
Yeah.
Like, we can find a freezer for you. He's like, no.
Yeah, at least 3 months. You at least have 3 months again.
And you're in the mountains of Colorado. So, like, you know, you're good for a little while.
Odds are you can be there for forever.
But no, he just becomes a force ghost. And then sings a song.
Oh, that I hate. So when they're like, what is it? Oh my God, I wish I wrote down what she said.
Sing me a smile.
Sing me a smile. And he's just like,
You
sing are a smile. My baby. Like, it's so bad.
This I wrote down that this is barely constitutes as a Christmas movie. Like, that's what they're trying to be. But I'm like, Christmas has nothing to do with this movie.
Yeah.
Not really. Not in any real sense, other than it happens at Christmas. But Christmas isn't like
Die Hard is a more Christmas movie.
Absolutely. Like, there's more of the magic of Christmas in Die Hard than in this movie, because the magic seemingly has nothing to do with Christmas. Not really. They don't.
The harmonica is a really weird
plot. That's my biggest issue with this movie, because it's, again, all these movies that have like magical elements to it, they usually have like a, I don't know, some kind of like ground.
Set up the harmonica.
Because he even said he just bought it a goddamn in front of the hospital. There's not even like a, I don't know, if you have found it like in the mountains of Peru, I don't know. You could have been like, oh, like there's like maybe some mythical things. Like, no, you literally just bought it at a thrift shop.
Sure, make like it magical. Cross. I don't know.
You've been playing this forever. Like, wouldn't be other snowman ghosts walking around? You clearly used this fucking harmonica once before. Before you, someone else should be attached to it.
That's the movie. Here's the two spinoffs I want to this movie. one is an entire town all of a sudden is just invaded by like snowmen of like all of their old dead relatives, and no one knows what to do. There's just like thousands.
It ends when you see everyone's snowman on their front yard. So I can see
there's thousands of like dead relatives who are back as snow people, and everyone's just freaking out. And the other sequel I want is Charlie at like age 30, where he's like, yeah, when I was like 13, my dad came back as a snowman after he was dead. And people were like, yeah, Charlie, and he's like, no, really, like he was there and he taught me the J shot.
And he still plays the harmonica. He still plays the harmonica every winter, trying to get the dad back.
Every Christmas, he's just crying, trying to get his dad back. He goes out and sadly builds a snowman in the front yard and just plays the harmonica and cries.
So hold on. So we've been talking a lot about this movie, and I just want to say, is there anything that you guys did like about this movie? Was there anything at all?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I want to give it to the kid. I think the kid did a great job at acting. He had to act up against nothing.
I will say the scene where he's like digging out the driveway and the mom comes home and he starts like crying. That actually choked me up a little bit. I was like, oh, he's doing a good job
here. I think the kid did a good job in this, especially knowing that the graphics in this do not hold up. Like it looks bad.
I think the puppetry looked good.
No, the puppetry looks good. They have the which they're not green screen. The for when they're doing the chase scene. The projections in the back, like that's like old 50s style of doing, like what the fuck? Nobody does this anymore.
Yeah, that's how they did like car chase sequences in 1943. You know?
Yeah, like
it doesn't look good.
Or even like the early 70s, I think was like the last time they're like they're either putting cameras in the cars with these people or they're not doing this crappy like projection in the back that never looks good.
I like the what's his name, Harold. What's his name?
Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins, and how like he has like PTSD
from seeing him. Yeah,
he's on the news, and then in the van, he's just like never mentioned the name Snow.
See, I wanted that to pay off where Henry Rollins is like, okay, yes, I'm not crazy, and he helps them in some way. Not at all. They just totally fucking drop that.
Not even just that. When they go to pick up Charlie and
Snowman is there.
Yes, it's the same one that he saw. And I kept wondering, like, no, dude, he needs to look at this snowman. He needs to be like,
he waves at him or something. You know what I mean? So he really freaks out. No, nothing. Yes.
No. They needed a little shot there. As I said, I did enjoy the war in Brazil. We don't have snow. So every time I see that the big battles of snow, I just think they're kind of fun because we've done that once in college.
Just about that. I would have been way more into it. If this was filmed like a World War II, like, oh, we're in the trenches and the whole movie was a snowball fight, I'd be like, yeah, I'm cool with that.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up here because we've been talking a lot about this movie. I tried to find some strange connections, could not find a single one. So I want you guys to sort of, why don't you guess? What's that, Chris?
Hang on. We still didn't. One more thing. Sorry. Yeah. We didn't talk about like Michael Keaton's best friend who is maybe fucking his wife.
Robert
definitely.
Yeah. Bobby B.
His name in this is Mac MacArthur. So Mac and Mac. Yeah. Mac.
This movie needed someone trying to bang his wife. Trying to be a new dad.
They even mention it because when he comes. Oh, also, who dressed Michael Keaton in like. In a white t-shirt with the sleeves cut off, tucked into his jeans.
That's how all dads look.
I was like, oh, who's the costume fucking department on this movie and thought this was a good idea? And he's like getting ready for bed. And I was like, what the fuck are you wearing? Like you have a t-shirt. It's not even a tank top. Like the sleeves are clearly cut off and it's tucked into his jeans. And he's like, romancing his wife and climbing in the bed. And I'm like, untuck your shirt, you fucking animal. Like, what is this? That I'm sorry. That really fucking bothered me.
It seems like there was a lot of things that bothered you.
Oh my God.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Mac, about how Mac, the piano player of his band, who's trying to be the father figure of Charlie, but is also mostly just trying.
He doesn't do anything. So I'm like, I don't know why he exists in that capacity. Cause he doesn't like, it's not like he's like, oh, you know, hey, you have Charlie, like he's going to look after you guys. Or like, you know, he's not me. He's not going to replace me, but you know, he's here for you and he's a good guy. Like, no, none of that matters. Yeah. He doesn't help them get to the mountain. He doesn't do anything.
He does drive her to the mountain, which he also.
No, she drives herself.
No, she goes to the store, gets Robert Baratheon and they go up to the mountain together.
But they take her car. Oh, right. She does go to get him. Cause she's like, oh, Charlie took the snowman. He goes, okay. But really, she goes, no, really. And he's like, oh.
But it upsets me also the fact that they don't have a scene with him either. Like, I don't know, Mark Eddy, Robert Baratheon should have a scene that he kind of sees him there too. And they have like a split second moment. Yeah.
Also,
like, it doesn't need to be much.
Why did they cast him? They have a British guy in this movie?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
He still has an accent. I'm like, and why do they have a guy from like Wales in this
movie? A year before this, he came from the Full Monty, which won like a shit ton of awards. So he went from the Full Monty to this.
I'm not shitting on him. I think he's great.
Yeah.
I just don't know why he exists in this movie. I don't know why they got a guy from like Wales. to be like in Jack Frost, which takes place in Colorado.
So I just sorry, who was saying that? Lee? Because I wanted to recap this real quick. So Charlie, so the dad's dead. He comes back as a snowman about an hour or about 40 minutes in. We don't really know why. He looks like George Clooney. So he tries to give him confidence by teaching him hockey, and it sort of goes okay. He hides from his wife, and then he says he needs to go away and dies. Is that sort of what I'm getting?
That is the entire movie. Yep.
Okay. Does anyone want to guess the box? The budget. Oh yeah, Lucas. I'm sorry. You want to bring something up?
Yes, because nobody talked about their dog, which upsets me because they have a very tiny dog. They just keep that fucking dog outside on a negative
all winter,
like negative 40 degrees. Like there's piles of snow. I don't remember the name of the dog.
The dog's some kind of like doodle. It's not like it's a husky or like dog.
I think it's more like a terrier. Is it smaller than a doodle?
But it has that really curly hair in the face. It's cute.
It is a cute dog. But when they have to go to when Jack Frost has to go to the
hockey game.
When Jack Frost has to go to the goddamn hockey game, he gets the dog to be his reindeer, which is like, all right. But let's be honest. That Jack Frost weighs what? 300 pounds at least? And then he gets himself into a wooden sled, another like 500 pounds. And they have this tiny Jack Terrier dog pull this goddamn sled through the snow all the way. That pissed me off. Like, this dog couldn't do this.
No. I was just going to say, I would watch Jack Nicholson play this part, but
real quick. I like in the sledding scene when he hits the sled and it cracks in two when now they start snowboarding. It doesn't make any goddamn sense, but
no, he just taps it like with his fist and it splits perfectly into like two. Now it's a snowboard, I guess.
I also like the police officer who was like, well, can you describe the snowman for me? I don't know, man. It's like, it's a snowman. Can you tell me how old the snowman is?
And he starts describing. I thought that was funny too. Yeah, that's their best joke.
Do you guys want to guess the budget? Which the budget is a strange answer. So
I bet this was expensive.
$60 million.
That's too expensive. I'm gonna say 38.
Lee, do you know it?
Undefined one, right?
This is a little bit undefined because the best answer I could find was 40 to 85 million, which is quite a spread.
Those are two million. Different movies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so 60. Yeah. So 60, I'm probably right.
Yeah, we can average that with about 60. Box office?
12.
This was 98.
Yeah.
Boy. You know what? I remember Michael Keaton like disappearing for a while after this. So I'm going to say this. I bet this made 9 million.
It's made 34.6. So about 35.
That's better than I thought.
It still lost money, but yeah, especially if it was 85 million, definitely lost money, which is funny because, Michael Keaton, who was Batman, George Clooney left this to go on to Batman, Batman and Robin. And
wow. That was a lose for Clooney though.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so here we are kind of at the end, and I want to know if you guys have a number on a negative 5 to 5 scale.
Before we go to the number, do you know who's the DP for this movie?
No, I don't.
He's a famous DP. Like, he's done movies that we all that we all grown up with.
I didn't look. Had to tell me who it is.
Yeah.
He is a Hungarian DP. It's Laszlo Kovacs, who did Ghostbusters. Okay. As one of his the ones that we've seen. And he's also done a lot of the like Five Easy Pieces and Easy Rider. It was all him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He also did Free Willy 2.
I did see that.
And Grizzly 2, The Revenge, which is a movie that...
Oh, which has George Clooney.
Yes. What? And it just now got released because it was a movie that was just like destroyed. Grizzly is a movie with Is it Leslie Nielsen in that one, right, Chris?
No, that's Day of the Animal. Okay. Grizzly has a couple of older actors I could say, but you guys won't know who they are anyway.
So you're telling me there's a movie called Grizzly 2 that stars George Clooney and it's just now being
released? Oh, it's not even just George Clooney. It has Laura Dern in it. And I think maybe Christian Slater. Wow. No, I'm sorry, Charlie Sheen.
Really?
That's awful. It was shot in 1984, and it was kind of just like lost and destroyed until just recently they found the footage and been cleaning it up to and just released it. So the movie's now available. Wow. Yeah.
that sounds awesome. Yeah, we definitely need to check that out. Well, let's go with let's start with Lucas. I want you to give me a number first. You get our scale with negative 5 to 5. Whole integer. I'm drunk. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. This movie's not very good, man. Don't watch it. It's definitely like within like the negative fours. There's very, very little here to keep anyone.
There's multiple negative fours.
It's in the
negative fours.
It's long. It's long. It's too long for Retress to do. Yeah, I like the description from Roger Ebert that just says, it's a bad film, yes, but that's not the real problem. Jack Frost would have been co-directed by Orson Welles or Steven Spielberg and still be unwatchable because of the damn snowman. And I think that's pretty much just because, as I said, I think the movie, if it was just like a sappy storyline that they set up in the 40 minutes, it probably would have been a better movie.
There's no reason for him to be a snowman.
What number do you give it?
Negative four? I'll give the negative four to negative three. Negative three and a half.
Sorry. We don't do that on the scare. We only do whole integers. So you need to give negative three or negative four.
Negative four.
Okay. Okay, great. let's see. Who wants to go next? Lee?
Yeah, so after watching this, I was just like, what is my bar for a negative five? Like, what is that bad that deserves that harsh of a rating? And, like, you can talk about badly produced movies that, like, have low budgets and low quality bad actors. But I think what really should make a negative five is the potential that a movie has and wastes it. So, like, this movie had, you know, a pretty large budget for its time, had names behind it, had all the potential to be good, but they started with such an abysmal story, and it got worse with like the pacing and the snowman itself and the ending. Like everything about this production like snowballed, if you will, and got worse as the story progressed. So I think that this for me is a candidate that gets a negative five. Not that it's unwatchable, but it almost insults the audience and the art form for a whole bunch of reasons.
Okay, I think that's a very valid reason, and reminds me of in this movie when the two children roll a giant snowball down the hill towards Jack Frost and Charlie as they're on the snow on the toboggan. So that's great. So we have negative four and negative five. Chris,
negative three.
Okay,
easy. It's so boring, man. It's such a dull movie, and it's kind of stupid. Other than like the performances, like I think three, like the mother, who's what, Kelly Presley, Keaton and Charlie. What's that?
Rest in peace. She's dead.
Is she really?
Yep.
Well, what got her?
Breast cancer.
Oh, bummer.
I didn't realize Kelly Presley was... I honestly didn't know that. Sorry. Well.
Anyway.
Merry, happy holidays, everybody. not Kelly Presley, Kelly Preston. Preston, sorry, excuse me. That is a bummer. She just died this year. Holy shit, didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think between her, Keaton, and Charlie... They kind of anchor it for me, where I can watch them, but like man, this movie is boring, and there's nothing fun. Yeah. They don't do anything fun with the fact that he's a snowman, other than like, oh, I gotta hide from your mom, and you're like, why do you? Yeah,
exactly.
I don't understand any of this. This is a solid negative three for me.
I'm going to give it.
Dude, it's long, man.
It's long. Yeah, I'm going to give it a negative long. Four. It took a negative four for me. It took me three watches to get through it. It's so boring. I fell asleep twice. Again, there, like you were saying, Lee, there is some wasted potential. Like there, it could have been something, and it just wasn't there. And I don't know who to blame exactly on it, but just the story is bad. And all of it's bad. So negative four. And I think between all of us, that gives it an average of negative four. So,
oh, easy. I should probably just change mine to a negative four. I paused and walked my dog for an hour halfway through the movie. So like, really, I should probably just change. I didn't want to be quite that harsh, but it's not good.
I think it even says something that I'm not having fun talking about it. Like the last movie, I had a good time talking about Snow Day, and here we are, and I'm just like, I don't even want to talk about this.
It's
movie.
Like there's not nothing worth
I need
it.
To say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just don't watch it. Like if you loved it as you were a kid, you're wrong. Like you're gonna go back and watch it again, and you're gonna find
keep
out.
Keep that memory. Hate
it. Yeah, yeah. No, don't watch this memory. Because you're gonna convince yourself that it's good. If you go back and watch it now, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Before we close, the director for this movie has only done pretty much one other or two other like real Hollywood movies out.
Yeah,
the second one that he's done is When Harry Met Lloyd, like the prequel to Dumb and Dumber. Oh
God,
yeah.
And then everything else he's done is pretty much like the MTV Movie Awards and Academy Awards like segments. That he'd done, and he's done a lot of TV shows, including Arrested Development. He's
I did Parks see that. And
Rec.
Did a
he's
lot
done
of
The Office.
Interesting.
He's done The Office. He's done Flight of the Conchords.
Right.
And then he's done. He's directed a bunch of the stand-up comedians, like Jeff Dunham, George Lopez, John Oliver.
Let's see, like no excuses. That guy has done legitimate stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he should be better than this.
Yeah.
For sure.
It just was the story was so bad. It wasn't worth it.
I don't really making a movie is a different thing.
I don't know if I blame the director, because it's not like the performances were bad necessarily. It just was, you can only polish.
There's nothing for them to work with.
Yeah exactly.
There's really like, because again, like even the actors do very well. I agree with you. I think that with what they have, they try very hard to sell it. It's just there's nothing there to really connect people.
All right. Well, I think that's probably going to be it from us. Don't watch this movie. It seems like we all kind of don't like it.
One of the worst that we've done.
Yeah, probably. So it seems like next week we're going to be moving on to our Christmas movie, which is I'll Be Home for Christmas, starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And so stick around for the trailer from that. And please reach out to us if you have any questions or if you have any requests for movies. And until then, have a great rest of your night, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
I want a traditional Christmas with snow and stockings and eggnog and carolers.
Jake was looking forward to the best Christmas of his life.
Still planning on coming home for Christmas?
Yes, sir.
He and Allie were flying home to be with his family.
Pick you up tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Until a practical joke.
Something wrong, fellas?
Changed his plan.
All right, Jake, where are you?
Changed his wardrobe.
I'm in the middle of nowhere, dressed like Santa Claus, being attacked by a killer buzzard.
Changed his life.
Wish I were dead. I said I wished I were dead.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
This holiday season.
Get out of there!
Mama's teeth have fallen out of her mouth again.
Santa's got a brand new bag.
Santa just yammied in your handbag.
But now, his unbelievable journey.
Come on, Jake. We can make it.
Father Christmas, just tell me what you want from me.
Is about to become something very special.
Maybe I should just go with it.
Yeah, from Coney Island to the Sunset Strip. Somebody's gonna
put this on, act like my elf.
How do elves act?
Happy.
Walt Disney Pictures invites you.
No, don't turn left, don't turn left!
to join Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I send the class.
Incoming!
For the ultimate Christmas feeling.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy, wet lap, wet lap.
Disney's I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Check this out. Tell me what's better. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
The first one's good for really little kids. And the second one's good if you want to scare people and watch them run away screaming.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Have you let's cool?